All right. Monair, I love you. And I'm really grateful for your gifts, for all your cards. They really make me glad. Believe me, they do. Some of those cards have made me think that they were addressed to somebody else. And I didn't know that somebody else worked here, really, but again, I just want to say I love you and I appreciate you all. I'm really grateful for everything that you have allowed us to do here. And I say this for two reasons. Because I have been blessed to be your pastor, no doubt, for this almost 4 years now. But the second thing is that I'm going to share something with you today that might seem like a complaint. And that's far from the truth. I don't want that to be interpreted the wrong way. You see, whenever you speak about leaders and congregations, those who hear might be tempted to ask if the pastor is talking about them. Anybody? Sometimes they're wondering, is the pastor know what I've been thinking? But again, that has nothing to do with you. I'm just sticking to the story, all right? All right? So if you hear anything that might make you think that I'm complaining, please don't take it that way. What I'd like for us to do is just to hear the text and hear the comments that I have for you as an opportunity for reflection. And even self-evaluation. And that is, if you like, you don't have to do it. But here's the deal. The story of Moses is about a chosen people and a chosen person, right? Now, neither of them has asked for it. You know that, right? Neither of them has asked to be chosen. You remember the famous line of that movie, Fiddler on the Roof? Anybody has seen that? And I think I've mentioned it before, but it comes to mind all the time. You know, Tevye is the father figure of that iconic family, and he's saying, I know, we are your chosen people. But once in a while, can't you choose somebody else? You know, it's like it's like sometimes we may see ourselves that way, right? Now, we're the chosen people, but wait a minute, you know, why is all this stuff going on around us? And why is that happening to me? Can't you choose somebody else? They seem to be all right. Sometimes we're like, you know, not again, Lord, not again. But remember this, that God may also be saying, not again. Not again, Reuben, please. We've talked about this already. Right? Let's see if I'm somehow right. Right. The first verse, it says that the people noted Moses' delay. You saw that, right? They noted Moses' delay. And Moses was doing a very important task at the time. He was talking to God. But they noticed that he just doesn't come back. And what do? They talk to Aaron and ask him to make us some gods. I mean, this is a great place where you can say, what? What in the world are these people thinking? Come on. God has given you freedom. He's taken you out of Egypt. And here you are saying, man, we don't see Moses come down. Let's make some new ones. Come on. Right? You realize how deep that statement alone is. And how much implications it has in our lives. Hear what chapter 19 says. Remember, last week we were doing chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, right? The Decalogue. But this is before that. Verse 3 says, then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, says God, right? If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, he continues, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. So Moses has already, he heard this from God, and this is what he does. Verse 7. So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set them all and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. And the people all answered, listen, as one. They all answered as one. Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Okay, even before God says, hey, these are my commandments, and gives them instructions, they said, everything that we have heard from the Lord, we will do. And I don't know if you get that, but that's a covenant, right? That's a covenant. That's an agreement. And this is not just any agreement. It's a covenant between the people and the creator of the world. And they have agreed to the terms, right? It says, we will do it. Then God proceeds to give them the commandments. And then he continues to give them a bunch of rules. You can read them from chapter 20 to 24. They're all there. I know that even if we have read them, we just sometimes miss him. And then Moses reads to the people, and the people respond this. And this is verse 7, okay, on chapter 24. They say, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Okay, second time, all right? It first was before the Ten Commandments. Now he has given them the Ten Commandments plus a bunch of others, and they agree again. We will do as the Lord has said. We will obey. Now God calls Moses to go up to the mountain again, and the tablets are being written, and as you may know, to write on stone tablets takes a little time. So Moses delays. And he gives all these instructions to them about the Sabbath, the priest, the altar, how it should be done, how it should be. And he just lays out all the stuff in writing. And the people down in the valley are saying, Moses is taking too long. What does that say about us? Why do people have to engineer microwaves? That's the same question. Right? There's no patience. He's taking too long. It took 400 years of enslavement for them to be free. Now he's gone a few days and they're saying, he's taking too long. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear that, but it's like crazy. It's crazy. Now, I tell you, this is not the hot-blooded Puerto Rican idea, okay? This, if I was God, right? If I was God and I see this, I don't know what I would do, but... Well, let's see what happens here. Aaron the dummy, right? That's how I call him. Aaron the dummy does exactly what they ask. The people have the gall to say that the golden calf, which they had just done, that golden calf brought them out of Egypt. Can you imagine? And of course, God is hearing this and tells Moses to hurry and go down because, quote, your people. Hey, I don't know how to take that one. Your people are acting perversely. And God says, I have seen these people, how stiff-necked they are. And I'm translating now again to the Puerto Rican, and he says, let me at him. Just let me at him. Okay? Just give me... Let me at him. Now, I don't know if you see this scenario and how incredible it is. It seems to me that someone who has received freedom at the hands of somebody who has paid the price for them to be free from enslavement would be a little bit more patient, would be a little bit more grateful. And as a matter of fact, when we look at the story, we may be saying, man, what's wrong with these people? People that complain over and over again, and then they make a covenant, and the creator of the universe and savior of Israel is in the midst of all this, and in no time, they just simply violate the covenant, they just throw it away. Just dump it. This guy, whatever. I just don't get it. I remember my dad. My dad owned a barber shop. And you know what he did when he finished with a customer? He used to take the cape of the person, right? The patient would get up, he would take the cape, and he would just boom, boom, beat the chair, you know, a couple of times, get all the hairs out, clean it out, get his station ready, and he'd scream, next! Right? Next person that was sitting there would come in there and take a seat. That's how Israel sounds to me. Okay, we're done with this one. Next. Right? It sounds so transactional. So impersonal. So egotistical. Even utilitarian. Don't worry, I'll explain the words. That it doesn't seem like they're really people, that they have, it doesn't seem like they have feelings at all. It's just like, Okay, you're not here anymore. Let's get the next God that we can figure out. Because we just got to have somebody. Now, that does not reflect on my dad, please. No, again, don't get that wrong. I'm just using that because that expression just came to mind. My dad was a real professional. He loved people, right? He not only loved people, but he really took care of them. But Israel just sounded like, okay, you're not here? Next. Now, perhaps this is how sometimes we see life. And perhaps this is how sometimes we act. Whether you're a leader, and this is where it's getting dangerous, people. That's why I said what I said at the beginning. Well, there is with the leader of a group, congregation, or whether it is with God, we might see them in transactional terms, in impersonal terms, in egotistical terms, in utilitarian terms. And again, I'm going to explain. Transactional. I need, you provide, the end. Right? That's what transactional is. I have a need, I get it from you, good, thank you. Impersonal. If not you, next. Right? You get it? If not you, somebody else will. Egotistical. If it fits me, good. If not, next. You get it? Utilitarian. I'm going to have to define this one first. A theory that the aim of action should be the largest possible balance of pleasure over pain, or the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. You get that? The greater balance of pleasure over pain, or the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. Utilitarian. Give me more pleasure than pain, and for the most happiness for the most people, the end. So if you do not provide that for me, it's worth nothing to me. You get it? You see what I'm talking about? So it seems as if Israel could care less about a covenant that they've made just a few days before that. They could care less about being grateful, about being in relationship, about having caring love, not only for each other, but for this God who has done so much for them. And that's why I was thinking again about my dad. Covenant. You're my customer, I'll take care of you. Right? That was my dad's agreement with the people that came through his doors. Gratefulness. Before he did this, right? Remember I told you about the cape and clean out the chair? When this person would get up, I remember he saying, "Thank you very much." And this was like, you know, on the dot every day. Thank you very much. It's not thank you. Is thank you very much. Before he said goodbye, when this person was sitting there, he would take the time to have a conversation with them. Not only that, but invest in that conversation. If that person was interested in something that my father didn't know anything about, he would take that as an assignment. Let me go home and read about that. Because this next time that this guy sits on my chair, I'm going to ask him about it. If this person has family, I'm going to remember their names. I'm sorry, I can't do that. But you know, see, he had an interest in this relationship that he was building with these folks that were coming in. And these are just customers. Please. I was just thinking about this. Having this relationship with someone, even in the business world, seems to be even more important than a relationship that we have with God sometimes. Okay, that's the end of the lessons from my dad. Okay, that's just a section in the sermon. I'm going to finish in a second. This is the moral of the story. Love wins. Hear what happens. But Moses, right? But Moses implores the Lord to turn from his wrath. Remember, he says, remember Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, remember them. Remember the promises that you have made for them. How are people going to look at you if you just let it go? You hear that? And the most wonderful thing about this whole passage is that phrase, and God changes his mind. It takes something special. It takes a special kind of love to care so much for the other, then even when you're the target of their disregard, you still intercede for them. So it's not only God, but I can see this guy, Moses, interceding for these people. And remember, he's involved in the equation as well. This guy, Moses, doesn't come back. That's what they say, right? So if he doesn't serve us, well, guess what? Under the bus. Next. And this same Moses sits there and says, God, don't do it. For your own sake and for theirs, don't do it. Again, I think that it takes just a special kind of love to change your mind about annihilating these people. These people who have hurt him. People who have disregarded him. The ones who don't seem to care. The ones who are transactional, impersonal, egotistical, and utilitarian with him. That's Moses' and God's kind of love. Even when, they're saying, not again. Not again, my people. Instead of being Puerto Rican. They changed their minds. Now, as your servant, I really pray that I can have that kind of love. And as God's people, I pray that you can too. Amen. Father, we are again in this place. We've come again with many intentions, with different ways of looking at ourselves or looking at the world around us. And who we are, you just show us this scenario and again present that special kind of love that you have for us. May we, Lord, have a special regard for your love. May we fall in love with you the same way that you have fallen in love with us. And may we give of ourselves the same way that you have given of yourself to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.